This morning we'll start by looking at Psalm 51. If you could turn to that, please. Psalm 51. It's a psalm that is quoted in the New Testament, but we'll look at that at a later talk. Psalm 51, prayer of repentance to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. This has been described as the Bible's ultimate prayer of confession and repentance. And the introduction to the psalm mentions the historical context of the psalm, and that is that David wrote this after being confronted by Nathan the prophet after his great sin of constructive murder, after his sin of adultery. The passage is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. The whole history of that episode is described there. A history that starts upon a rooftop and ends with the birth of Solomon, who became king. I'll read from verses 7 to 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, which brings us this. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." He just described how a certain man took someone else's only lamb or sheep instead of one of his own and sacrificed it so that he could feed a guest. And David is outraged at this and calls for vengeance upon the man, calls for a price to be paid, that the owner will get four times as much back. And Nathan points out that this was a parable and that he was the man who had done this thing. But of course, his crime was far worse than just taking a sheep. "You are the man, thus says the Lord God of Israel. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon." A case of constructive murder. As king, David was entitled to order his men into battle, to do his bidding against his enemies. He should have been there himself, but he wasn't. He was dawdling away at home, idle, and his eyes beheld something that he had to have at whatever cost, and that cost was the life of a man who should have been precious to David. David called Uriah to him. He dined with him, told him to go home, but he didn't. He lay down outside the door and slept during the night and said, "There are men out upon the battlefield. Who am I to go home and enjoy the comforts of home while they're upon the battlefield?" And if David didn't feel guilty then, he sent him back to that battlefield with instructions that he be at the forefront, the vanguard of his troops, and that those troops would be withdrawn, and Uriah left alone to die. What a crime that was. A crime against Uriah. There was a crime against Bathsheba. But what does David say? "Against you, you only have I sinned." It's a psalm that describes the nature of sin. And there are three things that David mentions. First of all, transgressions. "Blot out my transgressions." That's rebellion. That's the crossing of a boundary that is set that no man should cross. David crossed it in rebellion against his God. He describes it as iniquity. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Iniquity, that's a twistedness or a perversity. What he did should not have happened, should not have taken place. Either of those things that he did were twisted and perverse, against all common sense and goodness, but most of all against the law of the Lord. And it's described as sin, which means to miss the mark, like an archer who misses the mark. That's the nature of sin: rebellion, perversity, the missing of a mark. When you go through the psalm, which we'll do briefly, but then later in a few weeks go over it in more detail, we find that it's a psalm that starts with brokenness but ends with restoration. First of all, in verses 1 to 2, there is David's plea for mercy. He appeals to the loving kindness of God. He appeals to the multitude of God's mercy. He knew that that was his God, a heart of mercy. He appealed to it. He gives open confession in verses 3 through to 6. He takes thorough ownership of his sin and says to the Lord, "It's against you and you only have I sinned." God is the ultimate arbiter, the ultimate judge of what is sinful and the punishment that is to be meted out. Verses 7 through to 12, David prays for an inward cleansing. Most of the cleansings that the Pharisees treasured were outward washings of the body. David required an inward cleansing from his sin, creating me a pure heart, a steadfast spirit, a new nature. David recognizes his need for a new nature. And that's what happens to the believer when we trust in the Lord Jesus under this dispensation of grace, this dispensation of the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have a new nature created by our God. And in verses 13 through to verse 19, David gives a vow of praise. He's determined to praise the Lord for all that he has done. and also a vow of intercession for others. So he praises the Lord and he witnesses to others of the goodness of the Lord to him. We'll go through this in more detail in future times. But what is the greatest requirement? A broken and a contrite heart. A psalm of confession. A psalm of repentance. It's a beautiful psalm that looks at a tragedy but leads to redemption, leads to restoration and forgiveness. And such is the grace of God that David was forgiven. We have been forgiven. Look at all the advantages that David had. When Nathan talks to him, he says that he anointed him king over Israel. He delivered him from the hand of Saul. He gave him Saul's house and wives. He gave him the house of Israel and Judah. And if that wasn't enough, he would have given him so much more. Think of what the Lord has given to us. What the Lord has given to us pales. What the Lord has given to us physically, wealth, health, pales into insignificance when it's laid side by side with the mercy of God. That is what God has given to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We have remembered the cross this morning. A cross that gives us salvation. Shed blood that cleanses us from all sin. We give thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we too can be led to repentance, confession and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help us as we continue to serve our Lord. We pray that you would give us strength and help and the gift of the Spirit in our lives to serve him in a manner that is worthy of his name and his power. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.